My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through opinions, humor, candor, and song. You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with Julia Chesky.
What up?
You have a lot on your mind lately.
I do. I'm troubled by our political
That's
situation.
All I have to say.
All I can do. Our political situation is like a living nightmare.
I love you so much.
That
Juliet.
I keep hoping we wake up out of, and I don't know how we're gonna wake up out of it. And okay, this is an.
No, it's like the world is taking a nightmare.
It's
pill.
Just oh god. I made a joke the other day, and then because people get very concerned with what I put on social media sometimes. So I deleted it, but this was the joke. It was a thing about Hillary winning nearly almost 3 million more votes.
Of course.
And this is the caption I originally wanted to write. This, I'm going to just say it, and then I thought, I should probably not post that. I said, I want to get that tattooed on my arm. You know, she won by nearly 3 million votes, just that. So when they find my corpse, they can find the arm and know that I was not a part of this. Then I said, no, there'll be no corpse because I live in Brooklyn. There'll be nothing but charcoal. They won't find shit. And, you know, but at least I'll know that I didn't vote for her. And then I thought, and then I wrote something like, I have a dark sense of humor, people, come on. And then I thought, no, I'm going to get, like, emails.
If I
post that, people are going to be like, Julia,
Jesus,
you've gone too far. And I'm like, have I? Like, I've told friends this and I say, don't do it. Do not, under any circumstance, Google, and you're going to do it now because I'm telling you not to, don't type into Google a Google search of what would happen in New York City if we get nuked. Don't do it. I read the whole thing because I'm an idiot, and I'm like, all right, now I can
sleep
all night.
Why read that?
You know, I mean, we're all dead.
What,
anyway.
I mean, what does it matter?
I think it's because I watched The Morning After when I was a kid.
Must you know the great... that movie traumatized me.
Well, my theory...
I was forced to watch it in high school. Geography class, the geography teacher...
It's a frothy little round.
...sat us down and forced us to watch it.
Lighthearted.
I had no choice in the matter. And
lighthearted entertainment.
But we did have to get a parental agreement.
I think Trump should watch it.
Of course, my parents signed it. And it traumatized me.
I think DJT, as I like to call him, I don't like to actually say his name. I think DJT.
Growing up as a child of the 70s and the 80s, the two main things that traumatized me was The Day After.
Yes.
And AIDS.
Well, my thing with...
And Reagan, which to me is the same as AIDS.
We lived through that. My thing with The Day After is that I was like, I think deep down, like, it was set in Missouri, and I grew up in Missouri, but I grew up in St. Louis, not Kansas City, and it was kind of set in Kansas City. And I have a theory that deep down, I moved to a city, so I knew that if we get nuked, I'll just die instantly. I won't have to go through that horrible existence that they did The Day After, that I'll be like, well, I'll just be dead. I'll just be dead, and, you know, we get a half hour. That's what I would do. We get a half an hour, and it's like...
30 minutes of life.
And, like, I just would want to make it back home to my cats.
Miracle Mile?
No.
It was this movie. I want to say... I can't remember the name of it. Mira Winningham, you know, am I saying that correctly?
I have no idea. I'll just say yes.
She's been in American Horror Story a couple of seasons, and was also part of the Brat Pack. She was the one that was wearing, like, the Spanx in the big, scene with Elmos. Anyway, I digress. Miracle Mile... was this movie about the end of the world happening. And these guys are on a blind date, and it just sort of happens. I don't want to give too much spoilers. I'm not going to say how or why, but it just, boom. And there's this scene when the world's coming to an end, like when the bombs are sent. It's taken in Los Angeles, and it's total gridlock. Wall-to-wall gridlock, and there are various people under cars fucking each other's brains out because they know it's over. They don't give a shit. I think that would be my instinct if the world was coming to an end. Just grab the nearest cute Well, male for me.
I
male.
Would.
And then just fuck the shit out of them.
I would just, honestly, I would want to be with my animals. I'd want to be with my pets. And I would just brace. I would be worried.
I'm just saying,
like,
if you were caught unawares in a public situation.
I don't know.
Where would you go? I would go straight to fucking.
I wouldn't, because I'm too picky. Even if faced with death.
I wouldn't care. At that point.
Even with faced with death. Bad sex is just bad sex. I can't handle it.
any sex at the end of the world will be amazing. It will never be bad sex, because it's sex at the end of the world.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I would, I don't know.
Even if it was like a giant, fat, hot dog tender, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm good.
And he just grabbed him and threw him down, just like, straddled his face to leave the world.
I see that point of view. I think I would just be like, I want...
I know, I'm pushing it
I want Otto and Shotzi.
I know.
And we're all gonna die together. I know it's dark to say stuff like that, but and honestly,
no, but it's true.
It's scary times. We got a lunatic as our president. He's a complete
sometimes you gotta
lunatic.
Look the monster straight on, man.
And I just think, like, even if not us, like, the idea that if he nukes another country, I mean, I can't. What the? That's on us, man.
Completely.
And that's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that to happen to anybody. Like,
dude,
even if
I'm
it's
actually
like,
more worried about us getting nuked at this point.
Ugh.
Than us nuking
either.
People.
Anyway, like, even
the,
like
the
worst.
Whole, the world stage
even
is
like,
just
okay,
pissed off.
The Filipino dictator, the current leader of the Philippines,
Christ.
He's like a crazy person. He's like rounding up people and killing drug addicts. Like, even that asshole, like, I don't, like, nobody should get nuked. Like, this is.
No.
I'm being very, very lighthearted here on the fallen
yes.
woman. And we live in dark times, people. I gotta find something. I want to just make fun. Can I just make fun of Melania?
You're dark and funny.
Can
and
I make fun of Melania?
It.
I just want to be like my husband.
Don't make fun of her. I feel for her.
Hard worker.
Melania did not sign up for this shit.
I want to be Melania Trump.
I think that's your new take, Contessa Mogo.
I don't look like Melania at all.
Turn her into Melania.
Melania just wanted rich man.
Morph it.
To make.
Can we hear a little bit of Contessa Mocha?
Contessa Mocha. Contessa Mocha is the world's largest vagina. Hello. I'm from Greece.
It's the world's largest vagina?
The world's largest vagina. Yes.
Yes.
You know, some men fantasize about putting whole head inside the vagina. With me is possible.
Mm.
I have shot little people out of my vagina. And
yeah.
They love it. I'm the number one star in Europe. I'm telling you. No, the scary thing is when I've done Contessa Mocha.
Please don't stop.
No, men ask, like, she attracts a lot
Contessa.
Of creepy men. Oh, well, Contessa Mocha, I say this.
Yeah.
I haven't actually written about this.
Tell me how does Contessa Mocha feel about Donald Trump and Putin?
Well, Contessa Mocha has fucked both of them. Hello.
Yeah.
Because Contessa Mocha would fuck anyone. Within, you know, reason.
Mm-hmm.
Contessa Mocha.
If they're not, as long as they're clean.
The problem with Putin is Putin is really gay. Okay, we know this.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with
Trump.
Where was it? I never found it. I searched and searched. He said, "But my hands." I said,
"Was it inverted?"
I can't even say. It was so disturbing.
Okay.
I looked for a long time. I wouldn't even say clitoris size. Smaller. I have been with women with larger penises.
Oh,
and I'm not talking trans. I'm talking women. Like a full...
Like a Vanessa Del
like
Rio.
You say cisgendered whatever. A woman.
Like a Vanessa Del Rio.
Yes.
Yes.
And there, what they have down there was larger than Trump. Not even a button. Where was it? I looked. I searched through hair. That disgusting hair. It's even more disgusting down there. I'm telling you. He doesn't groom it at all. He puts hairspray on. He molds
it
up.
Is it a blonde jungle?
It's much like the hair on his head.
Yeah.
He bleaches it. He molds it up. And he sprays it. To make it look like it's a penis. But there's no penis there.
No penis there.
I searched. I looked. I found nothing. He has little tiny balls. He does have balls. I know he's a man. He has little tiny balls. Little. They're like You think his hands are small. His balls. I've seen smaller balls on an infant.
Ladies and gentlemen, his balls. And on that note, you've been listening to Fallen
Woman. Fallen Woman.
Radio
Free Brooklyn. Contessa Mocha.
Contessa Mocha. Juliet Chesky.
Yeah,
in
what
the
up?
House.
What up?
High five, girl.
Hey, babe. I gotta go to Webster Hall now.
Yes, go. Go, go.
Oh,
fly me. Like the wind. Flee.
I'm gonna flee. That makes sense. Really, he's still calling me.
Love you.
Love you too, babes. Okay. Okay.
Listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with Joshua Nahas.
Nahas.
Joshua, can you please tell me about your the time you were banned from Mexico?
The Mexico story.
Yes.
Okay, so the Mexico story. The Mexico
you
story
got
is
banned.
Yeah, I was actually kicked out of Mexico.
Wow.
The Mexico story, it's a little bit of an old tale, and it's kind of mixed with, I find as I get older, it becomes more shameful.
Really? I thought it might become sweeter.
Well, yeah, yes and no. Yeah, like, no, there's, and, all
right,
I just have to tell the tale. The story begins when I went out to California. I was about 25, 26, and I went out to San Diego to visit my brother Adam, who was living out there at the time, and just kill a week goofing off at like Pacific Beach and whatnot, and we got the bright idea to go to Mexico. And the thing you have to understand about Adam is Adam was a very unusual person in that he could either turn the worst of times into the best or the best of times into the worst. And it was an utterly unpredictable thing. So, all right, well, let's begin.
He was heaven or hell.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So I went out to visit him. We got this idea to day trip into Mexico. And oh, God, wow, I can't remember the other guy's name. There was three of us.
If you could name him from your memory...
For
name,
some reason, I want to call him Scott.
Okay, call him Scott.
And I know his name
Scott.
Isn't Scott or anything even like Scott, but we'll
matter,
call him Scott.
But,
okay, so my brother Adam and I and
Scott... Like?
Scott was kind of a bro. I mean, he was a sweetheart of a guy, really nice guy. Just your regular, yeah, just sort of your regular, overly drunk, you know, 30-something-year-old regular white guy, you know, just a guy.
And his name is Scott.
And his name was not Scott.
Well, it is now.
But we'll call him Scott.
Yes.
Okay, so the three of us decide we're going to drive into Mexico. We go in, no problem. We stop in, we hit Tijuana first, of course, and, you know, wander around there, get some good fish tacos. And as we decide we want to drive deeper south, so we have no idea where we're going. We just pick a road that's heading south and we just go. Along the way, we score some weed and stop for some booze and whatnot, and we're completely lit as we're driving along. We find a restaurant. At this point, it's late. We've been doing this all day, but by the time we found the restaurant, it was probably late in the day, 7, 8 o'clock. And we load up on food. More booze, lots of tequila. I mean, it is Mexico, so that's kind of all we're drinking.
Well, when in Rome.
And this is where Adam strikes. Adam gets this idea, he says.
Oh,
he
no.
says.
Is this where the donkey show comes into play?
Oh, God, I skipped the donkey show.
Don't you dare.
Oh, Okay. Because the Docky Show
I was going to remind you.
There's so many other important parts beyond the Donkey Show that I actually completely forgot about it.
So important.
Okay, so we get to Tijuana. Adam, I don't know how, but he says he knows. But Adam is the kind of guy who would know where to find a Donkey Show in Mexico. So,
naturally.
Yeah, no, this is exactly the kind of thing. Like, Adam would find the most deplorable human act you could ask for and... Oh, I know exactly where they do that. It's, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he just had this sense to home in on those events. So, the donkey... All right, so... God, that's practically a story unto itself.
Yeah.
Okay, this is... Again, we're in Tijuana at this point. So, it's early in the day. That's a hell of a way to begin a vacation.
It was early in the day?
Yeah, this was daytime.
The donkey show?
This was in the a.m.
A.M.?
When we got there, it was in the a.m. It's in the afternoon. It's in the afternoon.
All right, so it's like 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Your donkey show was 1 or 2 p.m.
All right, so...
It was a matinee.
We make our way into Tijuana. The first thing we do is get some food, and then we get some weed and whatnot, and, you know, we kind of score up for a day and night of partying.
Naturally, yeah.
And... And Adam says he goes okay. I know where they do. I know where they do a show. Wow. I know where they do a donkey show. And again, I said this before. To me, donkey shows were a thing of myth. They were
like
something
an urban
like
legend.
Yeah. Like no, nobody really does. I mean, I'd seen like animal porn and whatnot,
exactly.
And like, but like the donkey show was in and of itself like
we've all seen animal porn.
Yeah, it's you know, Chalk the Wonder Dog. I mean, you know, it's all out there. But perhaps
there's
I've said too much.
There's even dolphin porn.
Oh, I'm sure there is. So we go driving through all these, you know, little side streets back and forth, and we find this little home. And that's the thing. It looks like a home. It looks like people live there.
Like a shed.
Yeah. Well, no. It looks like a house. It's not even a shed. It looks like a
proper.
Yeah.
Manor.
Like a proper home. Like wow. You could raise a family there.
Damn.
But there was no family. I hope there was no family raising going
shit.
On. So, you go in the front door. There's a guy standing there, big, you know, bouncery looking dude. And my brother speaks a little Spanish. At the time, I spoke none. And he says something. There's some dialogue between them. I fork over $50 to my brother, which I think I actually paid for him in that deal, too.
Yeah.
But
you know you did.
Yeah. So.
Which again, whose idea was this again?
This was Adam's. Adam.
So did Adam pay for himself? I hope.
No. I think I paid for Adam with that $50 because I know $50 goes like way far in the depths of Tijuana. So we go in, and it's looks like basically a gutted living room. Mm-hmm. Like you go down this hallway, there's this. It just exits into this big room, and there's chairs. Like scattered all around. It's a mix match. It's not like stadium seating or anything. It's just a mix of like old wooden chairs, fold up chairs, lawn chairs, all you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's so we pick a spot and we sit and you know, half a dozen other guys come filing in. No. It's just a floor. It's just a floor.
It's just an open space.
Yeah.
In front of the chairs.
Yeah.
Got it.
And at the end, on the left side of the room, like at the far end, these big doors. And we're sitting there after about 15, 20 minutes, the doors open, this girl comes in, she does a little striptease.
Right.
And like right then and there, I'm already sad for the girl. It's really unfortunate. She just looks like she would rather be anywhere else. Like
she
it's,
looks
it, yeah, it's the most listless striptease.
Like
everything about it is sad and
I gotta
horrible.
Do this before I fuck this
and
yeah.
So
oh,
she
damn.
Does this. She exits the stage.
Yes.
And then comes back with the donkey. And
is it a big donkey?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to really judge. I mean, it was donkey.
I'm just trying to picture the
it was
donkey
size,
donkey
I guess.
Size, yeah.
You know what's funny? Donkeys aren't as big as you actually think they are, but they're still like.
Are they smaller than the?
They're smaller
donkeys
than,
you see in French Quarter, New Orleans.
No, about that size.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I'm picturing now.
They're like
okay.
a little smaller than a horse, but not small
yeah,
as small
like,
as a pony.
It's like what
and,
I see in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And
wow.
she proceeds to. Basically,
big.
Blow the
I
horse.
Say, that's still pretty big. She blow, and it's like a big horse cock.
Yeah, yeah, like blow the donkey, basically, and like it's this long process of like
filleting
it. Yeah, and like getting him hard and everything, and the whole thing is it's horrifying, honestly. I mean, and this is coming. I make no bones about it. I'm proud perv. I am a deviant and a half. But this was one of those moments where
it
like
was bad touch.
I think we've gone too far.
It felt bad.
So I'm gonna cut the donkey shows short because
but how did the donkey just logistically speaking, I'm sorry, I'm a perv too, so how did that happen?
What do you mean, how did it happen?
How did she fuck the donkey?
Oh, she didn't fuck the donkey. She just blew the donkey. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That was the donkey show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
I... We can definitely move on.
No.
No point in beating a dead donkey. Sorry.
That's awful.
I know that was. Cheers. Cheers, mate.
But I will say, it's one of those things, the act itself, you know what, people get themselves off in so many bizarre ways, I'm cool with that. This was one of those moments,
it's so consensual.
I just wish I could unsee it. That was the beginning of this whole thing. That was the first moment. We left that and decided, that was when we decided we wanted to just drive south
flip
and
the
like,
script.
Yeah, and just go for a drive and get drunk and smoke
away
up
from
and
the donkey show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do this for, I mean, we're just randomly stopping at bars along the way, little towns we find, what have you. I don't think either any of us had any idea really where the hell we were heading. Somewhere around like, I guess I'm imagining...
That just sounds like... That's very foreboding what you just said.
Well, yeah, yeah. Because it goes places.
This
goes places.
Oh, my God.
So at some point, we hit this
and
restaurant.
It all began with a donkey show.
Yeah. I mean, there's the omen we had to roll
with. Usually it ends with a donkey show.
I know. We started
that's
with that. And that was probably the... why that was so bad. I was not nearly drunk enough for a donkey show. But, you know, like 20-something, you know, running around Mexico with you know, my brother again, who is the key to all things horrible. It was, you know, it was kind
it was
of a dream come true.
Right? I mean, it's a rite of passage. I'm
and
sorry.
Then I saw what dreams are made of, and I kind of wished I didn't.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
But, all right, so... At some point, we were driving down. I remember this. This whole night comes in like fits and starts of memory. And even to this day, it's just never like a complete narrative. It's just like moments through this line.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one point I remember. It's dark at this point. We had spent a lot of time getting stoned by the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember we stop at this restaurant. We load up lots of food, lots of booze. And... Adam, again, you can all trace it back
I
to Adam.
It was some of the best food.
Oh, it was fantastic. I remember there was some kind of shrimp dish. Oh, my God, it was delicious.
I ate in Cozumel on the beach side
This middle of nowhere restaurant, insane. Some of the most amazing, mind-blowing food I've ever had.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But Adam gets this idea that, fuck the bill, let's go. And at this point, I'm tequila'd out that I'm going to go along with virtually anything. So Adam says, all right, first Scott, you walk out. I'm going to go out. And then Josh, you follow last. And boom, out goes Scott. Adam and I sit down. We actually have another shot waiting. I guess we're waiting for Scott. And boom, Adam leaves. After a little while, I'm picking at my plates, and then I go out. And we hop in the car, and boom, off we go. We are like crazy lit up. Nobody's thinking straight. We're driving. Adam and I are actually standing out of the sunroof, driving with our feet, while Scott sat in the driver's seat working the pedals. We're passing bottles like back and forth. Everybody's lit and smoking and going crazy. And all of a sudden, lights flare up behind us. Adam and I drop it like fucking paratroopers. We drop into our seats, and there's a Jeep behind us. Now, I have no experience with Federales. This looks like Army to me.
Now, it's very military.
Yes, yeah, it totally looks military.
Yeah.
So they pull us over, this Jeep. There are three guys that look like Army guys. And one guy in a short sleeve white button down shirt with some kind of markings on him that indicate he's the top dude here. Mm-hmm. So my brother, he's just amazing in situations like this. Really? Amazing good and amazing bad. When I say amazing, I'm not quantifying a good or bad thing. It's just a sight to behold.
He knows how to handle authority.
Maybe.
He doesn't buckle under the pressure.
So, yeah, no, that's the key. Whether he does a good job here or a bad is up for debate. So he knows immediately the guy in the white shirt is the one in charge. So he looks at me, he looks at Scott, and he goes, let me talk to that guy. I'll handle this. And he walks up, starts speaking Spanish to the guy, and they walk towards the back of the car. They're standing by the trunk talking. Adam is facing me. But the Federale, the boy in charge, he has his back to us. The three remaining Federales start searching the car, tearing it apart. They reach into the side pocket of the door and pull out a bottle of tequila.
Okay.
And they know at this point that Scott and I don't speak Spanish, so they didn't even bother trying. He looks at me, holds the bottle of tequila, and makes this shrugged shoulder gesture of like, what the fuck, man? Because it's open and half empty. And I'm drunk enough that I think this is the best possible response.
No.
I look at him and I smile. I grab the bottle.
Don't open it.
I take a slug and I hand it back to him. And he gets this huge grin on his face. And he looks at his two buddies that two co-workers, I guess. And looks at Scott, looks at his boss who's got his back to him. And he takes a slug and hands it to one of his buddies. And the five of us at the front of the car end up in this drinking circle while Adam is pleading his case to the guy in charge, who is not still yet to turn around and see
all of us drinking.
Yeah, we're all slugging the bottle and turning around. And nobody speaks the same language, so we're all just kind of giggling.
You are speaking the same language.
Well, the language of drunken, poor decision making.
You're speaking the language of tequila. God.
So at some point, the boss man turns around and he sees this and everything gets serious. And he walks up. And he's like one of his guys is holding a bottle of tequila and all of us are grinning.
I thought it was in his hands at that point.
We're all passing it around and slugging it and
we're kind of giggling and handing it around.
Yeah. And so the guy comes up, he starts yelling at his underlings. He starts yelling at them. Adam comes over, he starts yelling at me, and he's like, I'm trying to get us out of this fucking situation. You're going to end up in a Mexican prison, and you're back here slugging it away with these guys.
Oh, he didn't understand what was happening.
No. And
he missed the mojo.
So, the end of the line, they roll us for $500 each.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's hefty.
But we did ditch out on a bill, and we were in the middle of nowhere, Mexico, and, a lot of horrible shit could have happened. They rolled us each for $500.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. and boom, let us go.
Man, some shots of tequila.
So I pass out on the way. We get in the car. We're all pissed off about losing 500 beans each. But yeah, we all think this, I mean, me and Scott are cracking up because we got in a drinking circle with the cops. So we're dying. Adam's furious. And I pass out. Wake up, God knows how many hours later, at some bar, surrounded in a round booth, with my arms up. My only guess is that my brother and Scott positioned me, surrounded by all these prostitutes.
Oh.
And I kind of come to and I...
So you're surrounded by prostitutes and you're pinned against the wall.
Well, I'm sitting in a booth and I'm just kind of like got my arms up around a couple of them and there are two more on the further end.
Uh-huh.
And...
God.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what it is. This night comes, again,
this
comes in
brilliant.
Fits and starts. So,
I feel like I'm with Hunter S. Thompson.
So. I have this idea that, you know, we need more drinks, so I go up, I get us more shots, and I black out again.
Yeah.
I wake up sitting on the curb outside of a bar, a different bar.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that woke me up was my brother in an argument in the middle of the street with these three guys. Scott's sitting next to me. He's dying laughing. And I look up and I see Adam heated in this thing. And I was like, oh no, what's going on? I get up and I kind of run over. And as I'm making my stumbly, stupid, drunken way over, one of these guys hits my brother. And so I just charge over and just clock him. And this whole thing just sort of erupts. Just fight, you know, blocking traffic.
It blossomed into a melee.
Yeah, in the middle of the street, and it's blocking traffic at this intersection. Cops show up, more Jeeps, more army-looking guys, and they start pulling people apart. They pull us apart. And the guy that hit my brother starts, you know, yelling to the cop, telling him what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And I break out of this cop's, you know, he's got me in an arm lock, and I hit him again. Again, this is part of this story where, as I've aged, it's become shameful. As I'm, you know, running around hitting people. But
hindsight being 2020,
he did hit my brother.
He
did hit my brother, so he kind of had to come.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So this whole fight erupts. They decide, because they saw me hit somebody,
right,
we're the ones to blame for the whole thing. I mean, this thing is big. They're pouring out of bars. People are crowding around. And traffic is blocked up in four ways at this intersection. It was a real scene. Mm. So they march us back to our car. Like, they actually escort us back to our car. Again, I black out somewhere between getting in the car and waking up being surrounded by cops in secondary. If you've ever traveled to Mexico, secondary means you are being pulled in for a fully invasive search.
Oh, shit.
Your vehicle, you, and everything about you is about to go straight up and down.
Did you go full cavity?
No, that's the thing. Unless they did it while I was blacked out, I did not have a full cavity.
Okay.
But they're supposed to do this. I mean, they're supposed to deflate your tires. They're supposed to, like, pull the seats out and all kinds of crazy shit. So I wake up and there's this woman shaking me. And Adam's on the other side of me yelling, wake up! You have to prove to them that you are American. You have to prove. And I have no idea where my ID is. I'm too drunk to even comprehend what's going on. So I push this lady cop off of me. She hits the ground, like right on her ass, and just lights up with pure anger. Totally understandable. Yeah. I am like, at this point, I am the ugliest of the ugly Americans. And Adam's going, do you know what the fuck you did? He's shaking me. And she's like, give her your ID. Three times. I reach into my pocket and hand her nothing. Three times. Three times my brother said, there's nothing in your hand. There's nothing in your hand. Somehow, eventually, I find my ID. It's on the floor of the car, and I hand it to her, and something happens. I black out again, wake up. We're on the road back out. We're back in Cal. We're out of Mexico at this point. I wake up. And Scott, I look back at Scott, who's sitting in the back. He's like on the floor of the back of the seat. And I look at Scott, and he smiles at me, and I start giggling. Scott starts giggling, and we just start cracking up. And Adam is furious. He pulls over, jumps out of the car, and I don't know why. I guess he's hit that level of bad, angry drunk. And I don't know what he's so pissed off about. So I get out of the car and I'm like, Adam, and he spins around and punches me right in the eye.
Shit.
And so I fall against the hood of the car and just without even by design, I just kick my leg out and I hit him right in the knee and he drops right to the desert floor. And I'm lying up against the hood of the car, holding this horribly beaten eye. He's laying on the ground, holding his knee. Scott's sitting in the car, cracking up, just laughing at the both of us. And we went home, and I do not remember anything other than waking
but
up.
But how did you get banned from Mexico?
They escorted us to the border. After secondary, they escorted us to the border, and we signed something. At least, I think I...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I did sign something.
You signed something agreeing never to enter the country.
Well, I was back within 4 days, 3 days. I bought a Velvet Elvis. It's still hanging in my bedroom.
You gotta love a Velvet Elvis. You gotta love a Velvet Elvis.
So, and, yeah, that
by
is...
By the way,
that is the Mexico story.
I'm proud that that is on my show. But
it's
really,
a meandering kind of tale, but
oh no, I didn't.
It's my favorite travel story.
It was quite the psychedelic, I believe, for everyone listening, including myself. But before we bid adieu, you must tell me something about American Magic.
Okay, American Magic is a project I'm working on. It's. It's kind of actually working now in tandem. I originally conceived of it as a finite comic book, just a story that I wanted to tell in comic form. The idea came from an old J.R.R. Tolkien interview about The Lord of the Rings where he described it as a very British fantasy. And it struck me when I heard that there is, like, how do you tell an American fantasy? Right. We don't have the history or the lineage or the myth or the culture to tell, like, those kinds of old tales. So if you were going to tell an American story...
Land, there's no history behind it for
exactly.
us.
Yeah. But America as it stands is, you know, it's not old enough to have that kind of mythology where you can tell those kinds of tales.
With Native Americans it does, but
not with modern American culture.
Exactly.
Not like, that's not American culture.
No, it's true. I know what you mean. I completely agree.
But, so, I wanted to tell an American fantasy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And if you were going to do that, it struck me that the only real period to do that in is in the West, the period of Western expansionism. So
would that be like the mid-1800s?
Exactly. It takes place in the 1860s.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So essentially it's it's a fantasy epic across 1860s America at a time when all these cultures are kind of converging.
Colliding.
Exactly, and they're bringing along their mythology and their magic and their folklore and their monsters and all of these things are kind of coming into this culture, mashing into this one thing. And it's essentially like it's kind of a road story with these characters traveling across America. There's it's got the heroics, the swashbuckling good versus evil in there. But essentially it's based on the notion of the melting pot, but taken in terms of mythology.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. But it's expanding into something different. Well, that's what I originally conceived of it as. But I've been working with some writers that have kind of piqued my interest in turning it into a series of novels. That's a little bit of a larger category, but it's something we're exploring right now. So we will see where that goes. That's more than I initially thought I would do with this, but I'm not opposed to it. So we're kind of discussing this now.
The journey's expanding.
Exactly.
And where can they find you in cyberspace?
I'm really easy to find, actually. You can, you know, like I said before, just Google my name. You'll find everywhere I am.
Joshua Nahas, folks. And how do you spell that?
N-A-H-A-S.
And, you know, Joshua, come on, folks.
Yeah, if you can't spell that, you shouldn't be looking me up.
You've been listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. And we are making a toast. Happy winter solstice.
Amen to that.
Yes. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. A long, long way from home. Like a bird in the sky. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. A long way from home. Crying freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. And when I feel like a motherless child, You can see it, you can taste it, but she comes to you light as the breeze. You can drink or you can nurse it, it don't matter how you worship. As long as you're down on your knees. So I knelt there at the Delta, at the Alpha and the Omega, at the cradle of the river and the seas. And like a blessing come from heaven, for something like a second, I was healed and my heart was at ease. Oh baby, I've waited so long for your kiss, for something to happen. Oh, something like this. It's dark and it's snowing. Oh my love, I must be going. The river is starting to freeze. And I'm sick of pretending, and I'm broken from bending. I've lived too long on my knees. And she dances so graceful, and your heart's hard and hateful, and she's naked, but that's just a tease. And you turn in disgust from your hatred, from your love, and she comes to you light as a breeze. Oh, baby. Forget there's still a woman beneath this resplendent chemise.
Imagine that.
mission to imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday
for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you enjoy what you hear and you'd like to continue to support independent community media, we hope you'll consider supporting us with a small monthly pledge. You may pledge as little as $1 a month. That's just $12 per year, the price of a cocktail. Wouldn't you buy us just one drink per year to keep local independent media alive and kicking? Please, go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and help keep commercial-free independent radio alive. My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through opinions, humor, candor, and song.